The Andrew W. Mellon Foundation awarded a grant of more than $2 million to UTEP and EPCC to establish the Humanities Collaborative. This program at EPCC and UTEP provides students with a variety of opportunities to pursue their passion in the humanities while gaining valuable research and career-related experience. We last checked in with this group in 2018 when they received their award, and today we're checking in to see how it's going. My guests are Dr. Brian Yethers, Brian Kirby, and Margie Nelson Rodriguez. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you so much for having us, Marina. It's great to be here.
I was looking up your progress, and it is pretty incredible. You all should be feeling really good right about now.
We're feeling wonderful. We managed to get quite a bit done during the pandemic, and then prior to, we really hit the ground running. I think a few months after we spoke initially, we had the chance to visit New York and attend a conference that is hosted by institutions that are doing the same sort of thing that we're doing. And since then, we've really taken off, and students and faculty alike have benefited, as well as hopefully your listening audience.
So tell us about that. I mean, what kind of accomplishments do you have under your belt, lessons learned, things you would like to continue to do? I know that's a really large question.
We've really been focused on the way in which research universities and community colleges can work together in support of the public humanities. So in support of research and scholarship and presentations, exhibits related to the humanities that can speak to the wider community and that can help the wider community, students, parents, community members at large, understand the really vital role that the humanities play in our day-to-day lives. So we've done a number of things in the service of that. We've had a marathon reading of Moby Dick in 2019. We've had a series of exhibits and programming at the Centennial Museum. We've funded, and this has been particularly exciting, student interns at the Centennial Museum, at the Institute for Oral History, and at the UTEP Library Special Collections. And they've had a chance then to be a part in some really exciting programming. So, for example, one of our interns was able to work with the Uncaged Art Project that Dr. Yolanda Leva put together that involved art from children who had been held at Torneo. And it was a really powerful example of the ways in which the voices that are often stifled in our society can be recovered through the humanities. We've had public book discussion groups, which we carried through on Zoom. We've had podcasts. We've had PhD students from UTEP working with my colleague, Brian Kirby, where he's mentored them in what it means to be a faculty member at the community college. And we've also been attempting to make sure that the community is aware of our work through our website, which was designed by Creative Studios at UTEP and which was coordinated by Vincent Martinez, our program manager.
It really is a great website. Props to Vince for running a really good website. Okay, Margie, so you clearly have something to add here. So let us know what did Dr. Yethers miss?
He could never miss anything. I just have a few things to add. Especially about the community college component, most of our faculty don't have opportunities to pursue research, passion projects, working directly with students on research. It's just not really part of our model. So far, we've had 21 community college faculty engaged in fellowships. They've done a wide range of work from a lot of mentoring to podcasts to most recently an Angels and Demons documentary that's actually being broadcast right now on TV from one of our former fellows. So it's been just exciting, varied work, very important work in the humanities that just wouldn't have been done. We would have thought about it. We would have liked to have done that, but with our heavy teaching load and non-instructional responsibilities, it's just not very practical. from the beginning of the project, that's what I really, really wanted. And I'm so happy to see that that happened. In addition to the public humanities programming and this connection to the community that Dr. Yathers had mentioned, especially through Dr. Leva, Dr. Abarca as well, had a very engaging community project with Food Voices of El Paso in our first year. We've also had a huge impact on students. We've impacted over 40 students total in high impact internship and student research opportunities. These are good paying, for especially for students, and they're flexible. And this was very helpful in the pandemic. When we had to transition to remote, our student research assistants were already very nimble. They already knew how to work on their own. They already had that initiative. So it was very helpful that we already had that in place and they were still able to work on their professionalism. Many of them want to eventually enter into academia. So this is a very prime place and time for them to do that. And that wasn't interrupted because of the pandemic, because we had already these things in place, not because of the pandemic, just because of the nature of our project. So it was serendipitous and wonderful that we were able to maintain so much momentum.
And to continue through this, so this might be a silly question as I'm talking to three people that are heavily involved with the humanities, but for the rest of us, what does research in the humanities look like in actual practice?
The humanities include literature, history, philosophy, languages and linguistics, related fields like anthropology and music and art history. And so often what it means is that we're engaged in finding out things about the human condition through considering, you know, major works of art, whether we're talking about the visual arts or music or poetry. So to cite one example, Dr. Tom Schmid, who participated in our project, actually had a project that he put together working with students around the poetry of William Wordsworth. So it was a matter of studying the poetry of William Wordsworth, studying the historical context. And then what they did to bring it to the community was to work with students in elementary and middle schools and introduce them to Wordsworth's poetry, and particularly to Wordsworth's emphasis on working for the common good in his poetry. In Dr. Abarca's site, El Paso Food Voices, which Margie just mentioned, we actually have someone working with contemporary voices. So speaking with people in the community and gathering their oral stories associated with food and associated with the memories that they have of food. And I'll put in a plug for her website as well. That's El Paso Food Voices, because it has a marvelous array of stories from people in our community.
I understand the importance of storytelling. I mean, even in having these conversations weekly with creative folks, it just goes such a long way, way further than it would if you just explained something to somebody, that the power of storytelling is so strong. And I'm glad that it's continuing through this initiative. So let's talk about your award. We talked in 2018, it's 2021. How is this looking, or what is the future of this collaborative, of this program, you think?
So our grant runs through July 31st. 2022. We actually extended it a little bit because of COVID, and the Mellon Foundation was very gracious in extending it for us. What we're hoping will happen is that we're able to continue to have funding for this project by applying for a new grant so that we continue to involve more and more students and faculty from UTEP and EPCC in this project.
Is there anything that we as community members can do to let the powers that be know about the impact, or how important we know that these efforts are?
Come join our events. come to our events. And if you've learned something from them, you know, it's actually really helpful if someone just sends an email to one of us about how it's mattered to them, because I think that really conveys why it is that this kind of humanities programming is essential.
How do we get informed about your events and your goings on? And what's the easiest way for us to get plugged into that?
Well, of course, there's the website and it gets updated periodically, but people are always welcome to email any of us. I'll put myself out there first. You can find me at EPCC. My email is bkirby@epcc.edu, and I'm happy to share our upcoming events. We love it when people from outside of the community college show up. We know that it has an impact, and a positive one at that.
Well, we're also on Facebook. So on Facebook, it's the Humanities Collaborative at EPCC UTEP. So if people like or follow that Facebook page, we're regularly posting those kinds of announcements. And I would echo Brian's suggestion that they could reach out to us over email. I'm butepcc.edu, so that also works well. But yeah, tracking our Facebook page is great. And the Humanities Collaborative at EPCC UTEP webpage is also a really useful.
So another question I have is, I know it's difficult when you have two large institutions, I mean, just in and of themselves, it's difficult. And you all managed to bring both universities together. Have you figured out the magic sauce for more collaborations between the two? Or has that ability to collaborate been simplified?
That's a great question. So UTEP and EPCC have a very rich history of collaboration. I've done presentations in Washington, D.C. about our collaboration on all sorts of different programs, and also with the ISDs. Presented with Dr. Natalicio on this as well. So there's that rich history already there, and there's a lot of infrastructure already there. But the problem comes down to individual departments and disciplines, because we have movement, we have changes, the department chairs aren't always going to be the same. And we're also busy. It's so easy for that to kind of, it shouldn't be backburnered, but sometimes it gets backburnered. So I think one of the great benefits for the Humanities Collaborative is that English, we're really, really intertwined now. It doesn't matter that Brian is now an interim dean and he's not our department chair at EPCC. The relationships and that infrastructure is very firmly in place. And I could say the same for many other humanities disciplines at EPCC and UTEP. So the partnership is there. There's already great communication, but we can't take it for granted, because it's like anything. It's like a marriage. If you just like, oh, everything's great, and then you ignore it, you're not going to have a great marriage a few years later. So we have to continually work at it.
And it seems like you have. I mean, kudos and congratulations to all of you. Today, my guests have been Dr. Brian Yethers, Brian Kirby, and Margie Nelson Rodriguez. And we've been checking in on them on their progress with the Humanities Collaborative over at EPCC and UTEP. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you.